Well, good morning. Bob and I have been having all sorts of fun this morning, kind of remembering some worship songs. It's been kind of cool. It might be new to some of you, but it might be like old hat to other ones of you. So I was reminded this morning when I woke up, I was considering that saying. You'll get to it in a moment, but it's I find it in Psalm 118. So where do I want to do this? I'm going to start in 118, starting in verse 19. Says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteousness shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and I have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the one. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's go ahead and stand up here. And let's say that again. Verse 24.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you.
Yeah, let's exalt him.
Praise you, Lord God. You are worthy of praise. Join me now, church. Join me now. Let that baggage of distraction be just dropped at your feet, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord God.
You're so worthy.
Ah, yes, Lord. I can feel the praises flowing. Yes, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice in it. Yes. Lord, for those of us who are prohibited from rejoicing, Lord, just loose that in us this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Lightness of spirit, Lord.
Being under
you are the light, the lover, the creator of the universe.
I surrendered my life to your ways. I have learned what it means to obey. For Jesus, my heart is changed by you. I'm walking the path you have made. I'm seeking the truth every day. For Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. Walk away if I tried. Your love is better than life, but it's sunshine bright, and it just won't set, 'cause your love is alive, and it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next, and my joy over day, and I can't forget about it. Whoa. Surrendered my life to your ways. I've learned what it means to obey. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I'm walking the path you've made, seeking the truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you.
Walk people. Let no,
get loose. Get loose here. Come on. I don't know. I think it's just all the gardening, maybe. We're all stiff from that, right? I know I am. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
It will rise. turn your gaze to heaven and raise a joyous knock. The sound of salvation comes, the sound of the rescued ones, and all this for love so rescuing, how infinitely sweet, great in love has redeemed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my sins are washed away. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me.'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing and pray than when we first begun. As we lift up our hands, as we call on your name, we have come to this place
to worship
God of mercy and grace. Let's do it again. As we lift up our hands, as we call on your name,
will you meet us here?
We have come to this place
to worship you, God of mercy and grace.
One more time. As we lift up our hands,
will you meet us here?
As we call on your name,
will you meet us here?
We have come to this place
to worship you,
God of mercy and grace.
It is you
we adore.
It is you
praises are for. Only you the heavens declare.
Holy, holy is His name alone.
Holy.
Pause a moment here.
Perfect time if God's laying something on your heart to share with the brethren and sisters.
Like you, Lord, in all the earth. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world could satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven. Of my heart and of my soul, in our weakness you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present own, holder of my future days to come. Your presence is heaven. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven. Your presence is heaven to me, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Your presence is heaven to me. All my days on earth I will await. Moment that I see you face to face. Nothing in this world could satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Let's repeat that verse. All my days on earth I will await. Open that I see you face to face. Nothing in this world could satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. My heart, and I will search for you. Jesus.
Jesus, take my life and lead me on. And Lord, you have my eye, and I will search for you. Let me be to you, son. Let's sing that again, but let's stand this time. This is a prayer. And Lord, you have my eyes, and I will search for you. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. And Lord, you have my eyes, and I will search. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord, praise you. And I will sing of love, come now. And I will praise your name.
I will praise you.
And I will sing of love. Come down.
I will sing of love. Come down.
As you show your face. We'll see your glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tiara and Bob, leading us into the throne room. I recently, a church I have been imagining myself actually in the throne room. It's really fabulous. I mean, we are seated in the heavenlies, right, with God. Amazing. We have some announcements. Jody, you have something to say.
Okay, this announcement is a little early, but I won't be here next week. So not this Monday, but next Monday, all the women are invited to my house for a prayer meeting. We all get together and just share what we want people to pray for and then pray for each other. We call it Fret Not, and it's at my house. The first Monday of every month. This week it's May 1st. This month it's May 1st. At 7 o'clock.
May 2nd.
Okay. May 2nd, and
close.
So it's at my house, Fret Not, 7 p.m. Everybody, all the ladies are invited.
I got an outfit. For all of you that don't know, we started a little Bookshare back there in the cubby by the back nursery room. There's all sorts of things there. Check it out. There's kids' Bibles, study Bibles, reference Bibles. There's Nicholas Sparks books, magazines, National Geographic, all sorts of things. So check it out then.
We can help bring
yourself?
Our books.
Help yourself.
Yeah, help yourself.
And
it's all free.
And
you can bring books.
Yes.
Right. We don't want a bunch of junky books, you know. They're,
no.
But, yeah.
And not big boxes of books.
Yeah. Please only bring a couple of it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to return them. Pass them on to somebody else.
Take and leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody else have anything? So Tuesday mornings are the guys meet at Imagine Coffee at 10:30. Thursday morning, women meet at Timbertown for a Bible study. Johnny, did you have some?
Could we pray for Donna? She's got a bad lung infection, lung congestion, whatever, and is having troubles, you know, with a lot of coughing and stuff.
Lord, we lift Donna up to you right now. We ask that you would bring your healing touch to her, Lord, that you would touch those lungs, you would heal that infection. Lord, give her strength. Give her peace of mind. And Lord, we just ask, you have made us incredibly well. And Lord, we ask that all of the faculties that go to healing would come to bear, Lord, and you would heal those lungs and bring her back to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. I got a text from David Karen yesterday, so it was Sunday morning, yesterday afternoon here, and they had just ordered and were waiting for their Sunday morning macchiatos, caramel macchiatos, right? And Dave says, Karen and I are praying that God pours out fresh anointing of his spirit on you and the flock. And then he says, we are having an incredibly blessed time. Miss you all. So there's the word from our pastor. And so today, I echo those prayers for a fresh outpouring. And so today I just want to tell you part of my personal testimony, and then I want to look at Hebrews 13 and look at some of the ways that we move toward Jesus. I grew up right on the other side of Nebeck Hill. I went to Corvallis Schools. And we were a bickering family. All the time. And but we went to church. And we went to the Presbyterian Church on Central Park. And we all went to Sunday school. We did the whole worship thing. Beautiful, beautiful building. But I, as a child, I had childish thinking. And fought all the way to church, and then one of my parents would turn around to the back of the station wagon, give us the look, give us the talk, and we would get out of the car and behave. So my first impression of Christians is that they're hypocrites. My second impression was tangled up with the culture. So I grew up in the 60s, went to Sunday school, and there was a picture of a hippie on the wall. Long hair, beard, weird clothes. So 1960s, right? Free love, blah, blah, blah. My Sunday school teacher was talking about free love and how much Jesus loved me. And I knew what my dad said at home about those hippies. And I wondered if he knew what my Sunday school teacher was teaching in school. And I categorically rejected that guy on the wall. Anything having to do with Jesus. Sorry, my dad doesn't like him. So, isn't that interesting? Because my dad did not dislike Jesus, but we never talked about the Word of God or Jesus at home. Not ever. Which is why the scripture says, talk about God when you get up. Talk about him when you walk along the road. Teach him to your children. Rehearse, sing to each other in songs and spiritual songs. I mean, this is to correct and teach the next generation and to encourage one another is one of the purposes for us being redeemed, right? So anyway, those erroneous conclusions set me on a path, and you can predict what the path was of self-destruction and the inevitable departure from goodness. And yet, God in his mercy preserved my life and kept me from truly stupid things. I mean, I did stupid things, but there was a moment in time where there was a what we normally call conversion or transformation. So after growing up here, I couldn't wait to leave. Went to college, got married, went to the East Coast, went to Japan, you know, did all this stuff. And still unrepentant, still not a Christian. Dear friends became Christians. I was so mad. They're sitting right here. So there came a point in time, I had a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old, my 2 boys, and it became clear that their dad and I did not agree about how we should raise our kid, either one of them. And so we embarked on a mission of acquiring knowledge. What's in the Bible? We didn't know. So we signed up for a 2-year class on what's in the Bible. And I was always a good student. I was a good student for that class. And part of the assignment was to read all of the Old Testament. And one evening, I was in the middle of the book of Leviticus. And do you all remember what's in Leviticus? It is chapter after chapter after chapter of sacrifices. What animal is going to pay for what sin, right? And it suddenly became illuminated to me that Jesus is that sacrifice. Jesus is the substitute for all those critters. He is the perfect, one and only final sacrifice. And it just illuminated my mind. And 2 things happened. I heard a voice in my spirit which said, "Now you understand." It was a very sweet voice. And I had a sensation in my heart that my heart completely turned over in my rib cage. It was the most astonishing thing to have happened to me. And I held it in strict silence. I didn't tell anybody. And yet the transformation was obvious. People asked me what happened. Transformation is always evident. You know, your countenance changes, your personality doesn't change, your habits might not change right away, but other things change, and it starts right away. Transformation is always evident. And discipleship follows transformation. We try so hard to make disciples out of unrepentant people, and all we give them is religion. Discipleship has to come from that repentant heart, not an unrepentant heart. We want people to be moral. We want people to be good and do good things for each other. But if we're trying to cram them into Christianity without a repentant heart, it's just another set of rules that they're going to break. Repentant hearts are so important. So, and it's the Father, isn't it, who draws us to that repentance. And then we can put our faith in the Son and in the price that He paid. And then we receive power from the Holy Spirit to accomplish His will. And that was the trajectory that I started on when I was, 30-something, 33, I think, kind of like Kent. Although, you know, I'm younger, so. Kent, last week you likened us to living seeds, which I love. Any gardening image is right up my alley. So as living seeds, you know, we're transformed people. We're dead seeds, and then we get transformed, and then we're living seeds. And the Holy Spirit is that catalyst. The Holy Spirit is that activating element that helps us to grow as disciples of Christ. And so that's a process, right? So you have a starting point, and then you have this process. And we use all kinds of words and phrases for that. Discipleship and sanctification and living the Christian life and becoming holy, becoming set apart. And none of them really describe the whole thing. All of those phrases and words are somehow lacking. So I'm going to add my own lacking phrase to the list. And that is moving toward Christ. And it's not that Christ is far off, don't get me wrong. Even in an intimate relationship, you can continue to turn towards one another and become more entwined and more enmeshed and more simpatico. And that's what I mean. Christ is not far off. But the things we do and say and be and are can move us away from Christ or towards Christ. And I want to be on a road toward Christ. Amen. So however you think of that process in your own head, just translate toward Christ for the rest of the sermon. So we have that revelation, we have that heart change, and then we have the Spirit-inspired action, and that's that forward motion towards Christ. And I think in America, we are so individual, concentrated so much on the value of the individual, that we forget that we are transformed for a purpose. We are transformed to make a difference in the lives of other people. It's not just for me, although that's my tendency, is to, have that initial reaction where I want to hold my faith and I want to go over all the things that Jesus has taught me and told me, and all of that is wonderful. We should revel in the revelations that Jesus gives us because they're special. They're special to us, but we can't stop there. We are, just as our sin does affect other people, so do our good attitudes and right actions and the good works when we do those things that Jesus has assigned us to do, that has an effect on people. And so rather than, have this private, I'll do me, you do you kind of attitude, there's this desire for that Christ has for us to be on this forward motion toward him and outward as well. And I need the Word of God to set me on that road continually. And I'm sure that might be a source for all of you too. So I want to go through Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 is the last chapter of Hebrews. I think there's some difference of opinion about who wrote it, but it's clear that it was before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So it's an early book. And so as we read, I want to glean out of the book the things that will move us along toward Christ, that forward motion toward Christ. So the very first verse, let love of the brethren continue. I'm actually reading from the New American Standard, which I don't usually use, but I picked it up and I like it today. So let love of the brethren continue. Some translations are continue in brotherly love. And right there, I mean, there's the huge stumbling block, isn't it? I mean, right there. I don't love my brothers, really? I mean, do I really? I mean, there's so many. I do love my brothers. That was hyperbole. But we do have a problem with actually loving one another. There is, blood relations are often stormy, but we hang in there anyway. But the love of the brethren that they're talking about here is that community of believers. Think of the early church. They have been rejected by the synagogue, rejected by the religious leaders, maybe rejected by their families, and all they have now is one another. And we can feel like that in the church. And so love of for others, love of others, and love of the body of Christ, when we recognize that Jesus is the head and we as these people, imperfect sinners that we are the body of Christ to be respected as the body of Christ, right? And that love for others moves us towards Jesus, towards Christ. They'll know us by our love, right? By our love, they will know us. Verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Of course, we think of the times in the Old Testament, like Abraham and Sarah, when these strangers appeared and they invited them to sit down and have a meal, and they turned out to be angels. And so, pretty simple, hospitality moves us towards Christ. Verse 3, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. Again, we have this concept of the body of Christ as being this whole that is to be protected. And there was, as you know, intense persecution for departing from Judaism. They were, all of Jewish life revolved around the religious stuff. And if you don't have that anymore, what do you have? They're thrown out of basically of their society. Here's another translation. Think constantly of those in prison as if you were prisoners at their side. Think, too, of all who suffer as if you shared their pain. So compassion moves us towards Christ. Verse 4, I'm going to read this translation. Both honorable marriage and chastity should be respected by all of you. God himself will judge those who traffic in the bodies of others or defile the relationship of marriage. So one can stay faithful in a marriage sexually and still not respect marriage. You can respect marriage but not respect chastity. You can respect chastity but not marriage. You know, we are surrounded by a lot of different ideas about what sexuality and what partnership and marriage looks like. And God has his ideas. And God judges those who don't do and be and understand what his ideas are, which means we don't have to judge them. God's going to do it. So honoring God's plans for sexuality and for marriage moves us towards Christ. So verse 5 and 6. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Okay, so that love of money is what? The root of all kinds of evil, right? And so the pursuit of money in and of itself for as a major pursuit of your life implies a lack of faith in God's ability to provide for you. And we are called time and time again not to worry about God's provision. He is faithful. That doesn't mean that making money is bad. It doesn't mean that you plan for the future. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means replacing God with money. And he is faithful. So faith in God's faithfulness moves us towards Jesus, right? So verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. And considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So we're imitating the faith of other people, the faith that other people have. Again, they're dispersed, they're cut off from Jewish life, and yet they do have leaders. And remembering who has led us to understand that sacrifice of Jesus, I clearly remember and think often about the two leaders of that class that I was in the middle of when I read the book of Leviticus. Judy and, oh shoot, now I can't remember his name. Soares was their last name, but I have their image in my head. They will always be that age, and I really revered them. And yet we are to look at the lives. It says that we are to look considering the result of their conduct. So no one is perfect. We imitate faith, but if there are actions that are not rooted in faith, we don't imitate that, right? So discernment moves us towards Jesus. Verse 8 and 9, it's right there. Let's read it together.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
It's also in Hebrews. I mean, it's there. Yes, Hebrews 13:8. Okay. And I'm going to read the first part of 9 to go with that. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. So Jesus is the same. We're not to be swayed by either the sins committed by those around us or our leaders or by false teachings. And for the Hebrews in particular, that meant don't be tempted to go back to the old ways. Don't be tempted to go make those sacrifices and hedge your bets by killing a dove for your sin last week. That steadiness of confidence in the cross and in the resurrection moves us towards Jesus. So the rest of 9 is, it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. So that refers to that old sacrificial system of paying for sin with food and drink and, you know, animals and all that kind of stuff. The priests were allowed to partake of part of the sacrifice. So you brought your oil and you brought your grain and you brought your, did they do wine? I think they did. And your animal, and then the priests were able to participate in part of that. And yet it did not benefit. They were thus occupied, were not benefited. So after Jesus, right, those sacrifices were meaningless. The sacrifice has, the final and perfect sacrifice has been done. So it's God's grace now that is the important thing. It's the key in the pardoning of sins. So we are strengthened by grace, not by food sacrifices, right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, no kidding. So accepting God's grace moves us towards Jesus. Verse 10, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Okay, so it doesn't mean they're, you know, better, they think themselves better than the priests. This refers to the Day of Atonement was the one day of the year when the priests were not allowed to eat of the sacrifice. It had to be taken outside the city and burned. Jesus was taken outside the city and sacrificed. And so we can partake, I guess, we can eat, we can partake of that sacrifice, that cross and the resurrection through faith, which God has supplied by his grace, right? So accepting Jesus' sacrifice moves us towards Jesus. So grace and sacrifice, and accepting the sacrifice. Okay, verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Again, there's that parallel to the Day of Atonement and Jesus being the final and perfect sacrifice for all sin. Verses 13 and 14. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. So here is a drawing a parallel between the sacrifice that was taken outside the city and burned on the Day of Atonement, and Jesus going outside the city, bearing the sin, bearing the shame, and enduring what he was set out to do. And they, in some ways, I mean, this is kind of a leap, but in some ways, by being put out of the synagogue, are sharing in the suffering of Christ. They're outside of the Jewish life. And their focus, and that's not so much, that's not as important as their new focus on their citizenship in heaven. That they're no longer members of the society in Jerusalem. Their society now is in heaven. Their citizenship is in heaven. And the focus is to remember our identity and our real home. And remembering our identity with Christ and knowing where our real home is moves us towards Jesus. Verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Well, we did that this morning, didn't we? And it's a way of life to be full of praise and full of gratitude. And there's so much that wants to smash that down because we know that it is God inhabits the praises of his people. So worship and a grateful heart move us towards Jesus. Verse 16. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Isn't it interesting that the writer of Hebrews talks about the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of giving? I just find that really interesting. That worshiping even when we don't want to, even when we feel downhearted, is a discipline that honors God and moves us towards Jesus. Sharing when it's difficult, doing good when it's inconvenient, being community-minded, being kind and generous moves us towards Jesus, even when it is that sacrificial act. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I don't remember what scripture it is that says that those who teach are held to higher account. Just like every time I come up here, I go, Lord, wait. But think of being respectful of leadership, to be a joy to them instead of a thorn in their side, is a good thing. It doesn't benefit anybody to be contentious. It really doesn't. And it is an admonition to move our eyes from our imperfect leaders and move our eyes off of other people to whatever God calls us to do. There are things that we are called to do. There are ministries that we have, even if it's to just one person. There are things that God set before us before the beginning of time that he said, this is for you to do. And so finding our individual place of ministry moves us towards Christ. Verses 18 and 19 are a request for personal prayer. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. So the implication is that the author is unable to get to them, is writing this message instead of being there, and has a clear conscience about something. So if this person is in prison, and they know they didn't do anything wrong, only what God asked them to do, that could explain it. But the request to pray is such an essential part of being in the body of Christ, that we bear one another's burdens, that we pray for one another, that we rejoice with one another. And so praying for one another moves us towards Jesus. I'm going to skip and come back to 20 and 21. This is verses 22 through 25, and this is kind of like a postscript. I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I shall see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. There's another clue to where this letter came from. But this request for prayer and the sharing of news and greetings from one congregation to another is an indication of a community. Again, this is a community. This is the body of Christ, and being part of that community moves us towards Jesus. And so I'm going to end with verses 20 through 22, and this is a blessing, it's a benediction, and it's a reminder. God is reminding, the author is reminding us that God is the instigator of a grand plan, and he supplied Jesus as the ultimate payment for sin. He equips us with the Holy Spirit to do his will. And by doing his will, Jesus gets the glory forever and ever. And when we are transformed, when our hearts change from stone to flesh, which I think is what happened when I read Leviticus. My heart turned from stone to flesh. The power of the Holy Spirit comes in and enables us to be different than we were before. So being equipped by the Holy Spirit for doing God's will is key to moving us towards Jesus. And so here's the blessing. But you know, as I read this, you know, if the Father is drawing you personally toward repentance today, and you want to be free of a burden of guilt and of shame and of doubt, and you can put your faith in Jesus, you can accept that sacrifice for your sin. You can do that right now. You just simply open your heart to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come in and begin that change, begin drawing you and moving you along toward Jesus. So here's the blessing. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And I guess we are dismissed.
Yeah.
Right?
Shelly Volk's birthday too, so
oh,
if
wow.
you're friends with her on Facebook or something, you know, wish her happy birthday. Jody.